In our polite society, we avoid talking about violence until we desperately need it. This reluctance creates a dangerous knowledge gap that Tim Larkin's work bridges with unflinching honesty. While most self-defense approaches focus on techniques, Larkin teaches universal principles that work regardless of size, strength, or gender. The hard truth? Violence is rarely the answer, but when it is, it's the only answer that matters. Consider two scenarios. In one, an intruder kills Diane with her kitchen knife. In another, Diane uses that same knife to kill her attacker. The knife functions identically, but our judgment differs based on who wields it and why. This illustrates a crucial point. Violence isn't inherently evil. It's simply a tool, like a screwdriver or toothbrush, with no moral value until applied. This perspective saved Sarah, a reluctant student who attended one of Larkin's seminars before college. When a 235-pound intruder climbed through her dorm window, the 110-pound Sarah remembered her training. Rather than screaming, she attacked his vulnerable points, creating an opportunity to escape when they fell from her lofted bed. To protect ourselves, we must study violence clinically rather than turning away in fear. We're naturally equipped for self-protection. Our task isn't becoming something we're not, but reactivating innate abilities by stripping away emotional barriers that prevent us from using violence when necessary. Violent encounters fall into two distinct categories. Social aggression involves competition within hierarchies, like schoolyard fights with spectators, featuring communication, posturing, and limited damage. Asocial violence seeks only destruction, with no warning before attack. Communication distinguishes these forms. A mugger demanding, "Give me your wallet or I'll blow your brains out," engages in social aggression. With truly asocial intent, you'd experience sudden destruction without warning. Social confrontations maintain distance, with fighters standing apart while cuffing and shoving. Killers operate differently. They don't talk but step through their opponent, penetrating rather than punching until complete incapacitation. We instinctively apply social rules to all confrontations, refusing to accept the unthinkable. But rules only work when both sides honor them. During asocial violence, merely defending yourself rather than incapacitating your opponent is essentially hoping for the best. Thomas Price learned this distinction fatally. After complying with robbers, who returned silently with knives, they stabbed him repeatedly while he pleaded, "Why?" Social aggression had instantly transformed into asocial violence. The most critical 6 inches on any battlefield are between your ears. Your mindset determines survival more than any physical technique. When confronted with violence, law-abiding people typically identify with the victim, creating a dangerous psychological barrier. We've been conditioned to believe good people don't use violence, creating a mental block that equates good guy with victim. Criminals, however, identify with the attacker and never see themselves as victims. While you're processing what's happening, predators focus solely on what they'll do to you. This mental clarity gives them advantage because acting is always faster than reacting. In prison, violence is currency. What makes criminals better at violence isn't innate, but their pragmatic approach. They essentially take professional development classes, gathering intelligence, analyzing vulnerabilities, and methodically training. Even when losing fights, criminals maintain their edge by never adopting victim mentality. Real killers rarely display intimidating war faces. They have no interest in communication. They simply want to injure targets with singular focus. Violence remains unpredictable until the first injury occurs. While understanding violence helps in emergencies, prevention is paramount. Before escalating, ask, 3 days from now, if you're in jail or dead, was it worth it? This acknowledges that using violence means surrendering control of outcomes. Consider Alex Gong, a Muay Thai champion who confronted a hit-and-run driver. The driver, an escaped felon, shot Alex dead instantly. Alex failed to recognize he'd shifted from a social situation into an asocial one with different rules. Walking away from provocation challenges our ego but represents true victory. When a driver threatened me while my son watched, I walked away, explaining the unpredictable risks. The man might be armed or unstable, and even winning could mean legal troubles and family consequences. Never assume others share your boundaries. A DC lawyer in Corsica confronted a driver who nearly hit him, only to be immediately punched and lose teeth. Real-life violence isn't competition. Predators seek easy victims. A difficult target stays aware, takes precautions, and moves with confidence. When facing violence, opportunity is fleeting. Bonnie, a PTSD survivor, was attacked in a parking lot despite having a therapy dog and concealed weapon. When grabbed, her gun fell out of reach. In that critical moment, she identified accessible targets and used her shorter height as leverage to strike his throat with her elbow, then stomp his knee until it broke. A target is an anatomical structure that can be disabled through crushing, rupturing, or breaking, including eyes, throat, genitals, joints, and motor nerves. It's not just a point on the skin, but an entry point for force. You must visualize putting your entire body weight through this point, creating a tunnel of wreckage. When using violence, simplify. Identify targets, act first, and commit fully. Think like a bullet, straight, fast, and true, eliminating emotional hesitation that can be fatal. The human brain, with its 100 billion neurons, each connected to 10,000 others, is your ultimate self-protection weapon. Training programs your brain for automatic responses when there's no time to deliberate during real confrontations. We practice to develop principle-based responses rather than scenario-specific ones, as your opponent's brain is already working automatically. Consider Joy Armstrong, a Yosemite naturalist who fought fiercely when attacked, escaping after being bound, though ultimately caught and killed. Despite her fitness and tenacity, she lacked critical information that might have saved her life. Training reduces hesitation and eliminates ignorance without removing fear, a fundamental survival instinct you should heed. Violent criminals have one advantage, a prepared offensive mindset. Self-protection doesn't require mastering complex techniques like competitive fighting does. Destruction is simpler than creation. In real violence, accept that getting hurt is inevitable. The realistic expectation isn't walking away unscathed, it's limping away alive. Understanding violence eliminates paranoia through preparation. Those prepared can identify real threats and respond appropriately without fear clouding judgment. This understanding, paradoxically, brings peace. People who comprehend violence tend to be calmer, diffuse social aggression from a position of strength, and avoid unnecessary conflicts. Such knowledge fosters confidence, empathy, and humility. Recognizing human fragility motivates us to choose peace whenever possible, moving from ego toward kindness. Violence is rarely the answer, but when it is, it's the only answer that matters. By understanding this tool effectively, you gain both the ability to protect yourself and loved ones and the wisdom to know when walking away is the true victory.